This morning we mentioned that the benefits of knowing prophecy, of having knowing God and His righteousness and what He does, and the benefit that we gain from that. Now, when we read here, it was mentioned the church, and I just put it in that, will not be here. We mentioned that we will have the enemy set up himself in the temple and making negotiation and so forth. Now, presently, what is the believer to be doing in light of this? Because if we say that, I don't think scriptures are just given just for our mental, you know, to be mentally intact and all of this. So there must be a purpose to every believer, and we're sitting here today, and you know, prayerfully we have gotten a little better understanding of what is to come, and what we have heard. Everyone has seen billboards and all of this. What we are hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back on May 21st and all of this. Brother Alfred, you didn't hear that? Thank the Lord for that.
Because somebody said.
Right, and so therefore, we know it's from Scripture that this is that this cannot be said, because we have already mentioned the first seven weeks. We know the date. 42 weeks. We know the date. This week we don't. But the believer, we don't just get this knowledge and understanding of it for us to just sit back, and we can always say, well, we are not going to be here. So therefore. But so what is the believers to be doing? Because really, unless we leave here with a little bit of latch on to that, we would have not gotten a better gain.
But I just like to say, before we answer that question, that justifies one reason why we should be studying this, so that we don't fall into these errors, these awful errors that are abounding around us. But just before we get it, we need to know the truth and understand where we are. If not, that's going to blow people away. Sorry, go ahead.
No, so do you have a comment? I didn't have a comment.
Okay, you have your comment. Finish.
I'd finish. I just wanted, you know, if we could just share, I don't look at the list, but give a thought as to what is the believer to be doing in light of this? Because we're not going to be here, and that's the believer. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, Brother Alfred mentioned, whether Jew or Gentile, Romans 3 put that plain. We are on common ground. So that's the question.
I'll make one suggestion. I give God a lot of thanks that I know I'm not going to be in that 70th week. I mean, that's cause for praise to know that the thoughts that God has for the church are so special that, you know, Christ would not leave us here. You know, he says to his disciples before he left, he says, I will not leave you orphans. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again. And so we can understand the distinction. This topic helps us understand the distinction between the church, the assembly, and Israel, and God's dealings with Israel, and God's dealing with the assembly. And we could just bless the Lord for the wonderful, amazing position that we have.
Amen. And this is connected with a point that I'd just like to tie to that. The Lord Jesus has borne all the judgment that we have deserved. And so God has nothing against us anymore. Everything is taken care of in Christ's sacrifice for us. But this world is under God's judgment. And Israel, that had rejected their own Messiah, is under God's judgment. And even the believing remnant that will go through the Great Tribulation, they will suffer that judgment, even though they are believers. So the great difference is with us. We are now protected by the blood of Christ, and He will take us before the judgment will start.
But an encouragement. God's favored people, unfaithful to Him. This is the result of their unfaithfulness. What about us, brethren? We who pride ourselves and having been chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus, who have the truth of the assembly, who have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, closer than any other group of people on the earth, in terms of, relationship now to God the Father, we have been brought into a nearer and dearer relationship with God than even Israel. Look at us. Look at our state. Look at our response to divine things presently. And if God says to Israel, look, because of your unfaithfulness, brethren, we have to examine our hearts. What are the idols? What are the idols that's keeping us back, bringing us down, ruining our lives, ruining our testimony, ruining our assemblies? What are the idols that we have set up? And we have to ask ourselves in the presence of God, looking at what has transpired with Israel, there are lessons for us to learn, beloved saints, that we have not been faithful to the one who has redeemed us. We haven't been faithful to him. In many ways, we are worse than Israel. That is the state of Christianity today. Look around. Look at the professing church. Look at its state. We say we have a heavenly calling, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Really? Are we living in the good of those things that we have been brought into? That is why, beloved saints, the things that happened to Israel, as the scripture says, happened for our learning. And we have to be able to say, look, if God went into Egypt, no offense to my Egyptian brethren, and brought out a people for himself, and they turned their backs on him, how much more us that he has redeemed, called out of this world, washed in the blood of the Lamb, brought us into such a favor with himself. And we, beloved saints, we are turning our backs on all that God has for us. And in many ways, brethren, we are worse than Israel.
That's why you need Daniel's prayer. Make it wrong.
Yes. We have sinned. I have sinned. I have not been faithful to the Lord as I ought to be. And it starts now, beloved saints. We have to examine ourselves. What are the idols that we have set up?
I was just going to say, Brother Joe, to follow up what you were saying with regard to the church. We get that in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Chapter 2 and 3, where the Lord examines the church. I also want to make a point before I let another brother speak, would be that, we've said it before, but nowhere in chapter 9 of Daniel do we get anything about the church. And if you really want to get the church, you go into Ephesians chapter 3, where we speak about this mystery. Daniel did not know about the church. He did not know about the church. And that was hidden before. It was hidden from people like Daniel. And that's us today.